Once again, if you'd like to open up to Psalm 100, and Psalm 100 is a psalm that was written during the Second Temple time period. And as they would bring in a thank offering to the Lord into the temple, they would actually sing this psalm. They would sing Psalm 100. And so I've entitled my message this morning, The Real Thanksgiving. And I'm not going to be talking about Thanksgiving that we're celebrating this Thursday. I'm not going to be talking about Thanksgiving the noun. We're going to be learning about Thanksgiving the verb. Thanksgiving the action word. Actually giving praise where praise is due and giving glory where glory is due. So let's read Psalm 100 and then we'll go ahead and pray before we enter into our Bible study this morning. Psalm 100 verse 1 says this. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Heavenly Father, it is such an honor to gather here in Your name this morning. And Lord, as we learn about giving You thanks and entering into Your presence and worshiping You and giving glory where glory is due, Lord, we know that we are a small group, and I believe this morning that a lot of this is going to be just preaching to the choir. But God, it's always important for us to have a reminder of this. And so I pray that You would lock these truths in our hearts. And God, I pray that You would give us a newness in our hearts and in our minds to thank You and to show our gratitude towards You and to not take for granted the blessings that You bestow upon us on a daily basis. And so, Father, would You open our eyes to those things this morning? Would You remind us of those things this morning? And if there's anything within us that maybe we have forgotten about, a blessing that You've given us, God, would You bring that to our remembrance? And God, I pray that through our worship of You this morning, of studying Your Word, that You would be glorified and You would be honored in all that we do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you order a cup of coffee at a restaurant, like at McDonald's or Starbucks, you'll notice that on the cup or usually on the lid, there's a warning on there. And that warning says, caution, contents, hot. Now you ask a question, why would they even need to tell us? Of course, I ordered a cup of coffee. I expect my coffee to be hot. Why do they have to warn me that my coffee's hot? Well, here's why. Because back in 1992, there was a woman who ordered a coffee at McDonald's. She spilled the coffee on herself, and then she sued McDonald's, and she won for $2.9 million. And so from that point forward, she sued because there was no warning telling her that her coffee was hot. And so from that point forward, they have to put a warning on all their cups just so they don't have a lawsuit on their hands. Now you ask the question, that's silly. Why would you have to warn us? Of course my coffee is hot. But because man is so sinful and because man is so selfish, sometimes we need to hear those warnings. Now there's things in the Word of God. As I study God's Word, I think to myself, Lord, do You really have to tell us that? Do You really have to warn us of that? I mean, it seems silly. Am I really that dark? Am I really that sinful that You would need to tell me these certain things? And one of those things you find in the book of Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, God is laying out the laws there. And one of the laws is, don't curse a deaf man. Does God really have to tell us not to curse a deaf man behind his back? I mean, we do that to our dogs, right? You know what I mean? Your dog can't understand what you're saying. And so sometimes your dog comes up to you and you're like, you're so ugly. You're the ugliest dog in the whole world. And they're shaking their tails and they're all excited because they can't understand you. Well, God has to tell us, don't do that to a blind man. Now, don't do that to a deaf man. Now, there's another law that says, do not put a stumbling block before a blind man. What a shame that God has to tell us don't trip a blind person. There is another law in the dietary laws that says do not eat a bat. Now, who in the world in their right mind would ever want to eat the ugliest creature in the entire world? I mean, who says, oh, I'm craving a bat. I want a bat so bad. He has to tell us don't eat a bat. Now, here in Psalm 100 is one of those things that breaks my heart that God needs to remind us of, and that is he needs to remind us to give him thanks. What a shame that is, that God has to tell us in his word over and over and over again to thank him. That should be something that should just come naturally out of the abundance of our heart. As we examine our lives and as we look at all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, as we realize that we are breathing his air, that his blood is pumping through our veins, we're able to see, we're able to talk. If you have family, we're able to spend time with our family and our friends during Thanksgiving. We have so many blessings on a daily basis that I believe oftentimes we can, if we're honest with ourselves, take for granted. And so this morning, that was my prayer for us, that God would remind us of those things and we would give honor where honor is due. Now, there's nothing more annoying, and I'm sure you guys would agree with me, than being around somebody who is ungrateful and doesn't appreciate what they have and being around somebody who is unthankful, right? Now, there's two reasons why people become unthankful. Let me give you and let me illustrate one reason to you, and it comes out of a story of a man that I like to read oftentimes. He's a Bible commentator, and his name is H.A. Ironside. And there was a story written about him, and it says this. It says, H.A. Ironside was in a crowded restaurant, and just as Ironside was about to begin his meal, a man approached him and asked him if he could join him. And Ironside invited him to have a seat. Then, as was always his custom, Ironside bowed his head in prayer. When he opened his eyes, the other man asked, "Do you have a headache or something?" And Ironside replied, "No, I don't." The other man asked, "Well, is there something wrong with your food?" And Ironside replied, "No, I was simply thanking God as I always do before I eat." The man said, "Oh, you're one of those, are you? Well, I want you to know that I never give thanks. I earn my own money by the sweat of my own brow, and I don't give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in." And to that, Ironside replied, "Yeah, you're just like my dog. That's what he does too." So here's one of the reasons why people become unthankful. And it's because they feel like they are entitled. I've earned my own money. I don't need to thank the Lord for my food. I'm entitled to this food. I work so hard. I sweat my tail off to earn this. And so I am entitled to this. And when we begin to feel like we have a sense of entitlement and God needs to give me this because I serve him so hard, that's when we are going to start to be unthankful for what he has bestowed upon us. We need to understand and we need to realize that each of us are sinners. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Honestly, we don't deserve anything from God. But because he loves us so much, he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve forgiveness of sins. We don't deserve brand new life. It is simply by his grace. We need to recognize that. You and I are not entitled to anything from the Almighty God. We owe him all the praise and all the glory. There's a second reason why sometimes people become unthankful. Let me tell you a little story that I read this week, and this happened last year in 2014. I read a story about a millionaire in Switzerland, and maybe some of you have read this story. A millionaire in Switzerland bought his son on his 19th birthday a brand new Ferrari. And this Ferrari was a limited edition. It was a 2011, and only 15 of these Ferraris were made in the entire world. And he bought it for his 19-year-old son. Well, poor kid, you know, he wanted the 2014 Ferrari. And let me mind you, this Ferrari had a price tag of $245,000. And so, you know, poor child, I mean, you know, he just wanted the 2014. He wanted the upgrade. And his dad only gave him $10,000 a month for allowance. And so he decided he's going to commit insurance fraud. And he hires two of his friends. He pays them $15,000 each to drive that car into the middle of a parking lot and set it ablaze. And so he lit his brand new Ferrari on fire. You can see pictures of it online, and just torched that thing. Well, they were so ignorant that the whole thing was caught on camera. There was a surveillance camera right there, and they got caught. Well, in court, the child testified, well, you know, I really wanted the 2014, but my dad only gives me $10,000 a month, and I wouldn't have been able to afford it, and I didn't want to break his heart and tell him that I didn't like the one that he gave me. And come to find out, the dad had already bought him 14 other cars. He already had a Lamborghini. He bought him so many properties worth $25 million. Now, all that to say, can you say spoiled rotten? Unthankful and spoiled rotten. Well, you know, I think sometimes as Christians, especially here in the USA, we can become spoiled rotten Christians, where we have so many blessings. We have so much freedom in our nation. And it's at our fingertips. I mean, you and I can gather together here on a Sunday morning in a banquet room of a condo complex in Panama City Beach and have no fear whatsoever that people are going to come in here and arrest us and persecute us because we have a Bible on our laps. Oftentimes, if we don't examine the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, we can become spoiled, rotten Christians. And so I don't believe that that's the case with any of us here this morning, but I think it's a good reminder to open our eyes to the things that God has given us and to give glory where glory is due. Now, Psalm 100 is a psalm that gives us five ways that we can enter into thanksgiving and five ways we can enter into worship of the Almighty God. So we ask ourselves, okay, well, I want to thank the Lord. I want to give God glory, but how do I do that? Well, Psalm 100 is a guideline for how we do that. So let's begin to read it together. Verse 1 says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands." So way number one that we enter into the presence of God, way number one that we thank the Lord, we make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Now those words, all you lands, means the entire world, everybody, whoever is a believer in God, give praise where praise is due. Now what does it mean to make a joyful shout? Well, it means to worship the Lord. It means to praise the Lord. And when it says shout, it doesn't mean start yelling at God. It just means that's the response out of a heart that has been given so much, that has so much blessing bestowed upon it. The natural response of us should be a joyful shout to the Lord for what He has given to us. We have two examples of that in the Word of God. You guys will remember the story about a man named Bartimaeus in the Gospels. Bartimaeus was blind from birth. And Jesus was making his way through the city of Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming. And as he was sitting on the side of the road begging, he could hear the footsteps of Jesus walking by him, and he began to cry out, "Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And everybody around Bartimaeus began to say, "Be quiet. Keep your mouth shut. Don't bug Jesus." And that caused Bartimaeus to shout out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He gets the attention of Jesus. Jesus says, "Bring that man to me." And he brings Bartimaeus before him. And he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus says, "I want you to give me my sight." And Jesus says, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." You see, Bartimaeus, at the idea that Jesus was near, that Jesus was present, could not keep his mouth shut. He couldn't contain himself. He couldn't keep from shouting out to God, to shouting out to Jesus. And even when the men and women around him told him to be quiet and to keep his mouth shut, that just caused him to praise the Lord and shout out all the more. And you know what? For you and I, that's what the world is going to do for us. Well, that's fine if you're a Christian, but just keep your mouth shut about it. You know, you just stay in the closet about it. Don't shove it down my throat. I'll live my life my way. You live your life your way. Well, you know what? when somebody tells us that, that should cause us to shout out to the Lord and give him honor all the more. Here's another example in Scripture. When Jesus was making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, you'll remember he was riding in on a donkey, and everybody was waving palm branches, and they were singing out, "Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," and they were shouting out, giving praise to Jesus. And as Jesus made his way into Jerusalem, the Pharisees looked at Jesus, and they said, "Make them be quiet. Don't let them say that about you." And Jesus looked at them and he said, "Even if they were quiet, the rocks would cry out." In other words, Jesus was saying that the very nature, because of the presence of God, would cry out. The trees and the rocks would praise Jesus if we kept our mouth shut. Because his presence is so awesome, because his glory is so powerful, you and I, as believers in him, need to give a shout to the Lord. So that's number one. Number two, we see it in verse two, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, it simply means that when we put our hand to the plow, when we serve God, we do it with a joyful heart. We do it with a glad heart. If we are serving God grudgingly, if we are serving God with, "Oh, this is so hard, it's just so much work, I hate this. Why do we even have to do this anyway?" We are serving God for all the wrong reasons, and we are serving with a complete wrong heart. Now, here's why we can serve God with gladness. Here's why. Because we don't have to serve God under a heavy hand. If you're serving God under a heavy hand because we feel like we have to, because we feel like there's somebody driving us to serve the Lord, that's not good. You see, Jesus says in Matthew, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light." So the service to Jesus needs to be light. And if it's heavy, there's one of two things wrong. Number one, you're out of the will of God, and you're not doing what God has called you to do. You're going to strive and work really, really hard if you're not doing what God has called you to do. Or the second reason why it would be heavy is because we need to examine our hearts and to make sure we're doing it for the right reasons. Because serving the Lord needs to be a joyful thing. Now, I'm not saying it's always easy. I'm not saying it doesn't come with its challenges, but we shouldn't have to do it grudgingly. We should be able to serve the Lord out of the thankfulness of our heart and the gratitude for who he is and what he's done for us. So number one, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Number two, serve the Lord with gladness. Number three, come before his presence with singing. A lot of people ask the question, well, why do we have to sing in church? Why do we worship the Lord? And, you know, I served in the ministry back in Southern California, and I knew a lot of people who thought of the first half hour of church as a grace period to show up late. "Well, you guys are just singing songs. That's, you know, that's no big deal. You know, pastor doesn't start teaching until 10:30, so we'll get there at 10:30. No, we don't sing worship just for the fun of singing worship. We sing songs to God because he asks us to. Because he wants us to come before his presence with singing. For some reason or another, God likes it when we sing. It brings him glory. It brings him honor. Now, a lot of people say, "Well, what kind of God is that needs us to praise him? He must be so insecure about himself." You know, God tells us to sing to him. God tells us to praise him, not because he's insecure. He doesn't need anything from us. But you know what? It's good for you and I. It helps our faith as we sing out to the Lord. It says in Hebrews 13:15, "Let us continually offer the praise to God, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." In the book of Psalms, Psalm 33, it says, "Praise the Lord with the harp, make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings, sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy." So here's the thing. Does God say, "Sing me a new song," only if you have a wonderful voice? Only if you can carry a tune? No, he doesn't say that. He just says, "Sing to me." God doesn't care what we sound like. I can't carry a tune for the life of me, but my wife can. And he just wants us to sing. And you know, in Zephaniah, God himself sings. In Zephaniah 3:17, let me read you a verse. It says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love." Notice this, he will rejoice over you with singing. Can you imagine the voice of God? I mean, you hear beautiful voices here on the earth. I cannot imagine what it's going to be like when we enter into the presence of the Almighty God and we get to hear his voice singing over us. I mean, we're not going to be able to do anything but just fall on our face and worship him, hearing the voice of the Lord. And so he calls us, come before his presence with singing. And so that is why we spend the first half of our service praising the Lord. That is why we sing. That is why we give glory where glory is due. And that is why the worship songs that you'll hear at our church are really not about us, they're about God. It's not about everything and, I lost my boyfriend and it's just so hard. You hear some of the songs on the radio this morning, on the radio nowadays, Christian music, and you're like, is that to God or is that just some normal song? You know, worship songs need to be directed toward God. And so that's the types of songs and that's the types of worship that you will hear in our presence here at our church. So come before his presence with singing. Number three, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So here's the third way that we acknowledge God and we give him thanks. We need to acknowledge that he is God and we are not. We need to get in our hearts and get in our minds the right perspective as to who we are praising, who we are talking to. He's God, we're not. He's creator, we're created. He's maker, we're made. He's in charge, we're not. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. And we need to keep that in mind as we offer our praise to the Lord. And not think of ourselves better than we are, because that's when pride begins to creep in. And when we have that mindset that he is God and I am not, he is creator and I'm just the created, it helps you to give praise where praise is due and glory where glory is due. And here's why. Put it in perspective of a parent and their child, a parent-child relationship. When there's a parent-child relationship, my kids know that they are living under my roof, and because they are living under my roof, my rules go. What Desiree and I say goes. They know that. And that's just out of honor for her parents. You know, when I lived with my parents, what my parents said goes. Even when I was an adult and I lived with my parents, I'm living under their roof. They're paying the mortgage. What they say goes. I'm not just free to do whatever I want. And that's just simply giving honor to our parents. And that needs to be the case. Well, you and I, we're living under God's roof. We're living under God's blue sky. And so what God says goes. Now, he needs to be in charge. But he's not in charge to bully us around. He's not just making a bunch of rules and regulations just to make our lives miserable and keep us in a box. When you go through the Ten Commandments, you start reading, okay, do not commit adultery. Well, I guess that's a good thing. All right, well, don't murder. Well, I guess that's a good thing too. I don't want anybody to murder me or my family. Oh, well, don't covet your neighbor's stuff. Okay, well, I don't want anybody to covet my stuff. When you begin to go over the Ten Commandments, you realize, well, these actually benefit me, and God is telling me these things for my benefit, because if I do these things, it's going to cause me pain. It's going to cause me agony. So as a loving father, he sets out these guidelines because he wants us to be blessed. And so number three, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us. We're living under his roof. We're living under his blue sky. Not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Number four, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. What does that mean? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Entering into his gates with thanksgiving. Well, we don't put a big emphasis on a building here at our church. You know, we don't generally put big emphasis on a building anywhere. But we can liken entering into the gates of God as coming into church. Now, this isn't the house of God, and this is not a sacred place in any way, shape, or form. Like I said, we don't put a big emphasis on that. But we should look at coming into a church, entering into the gates of God. Entering in, and we should be entering in with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, and we should be thankful to Him. So that's the attitude that we should be coming to church with. We shouldn't be coming into church with the attitude of, oh, okay, I got to go to church. It's Sunday. I'm like, you go into work. Like, okay, punch my time card in, and I punch in. And then when church is over, I punch out. Or I'm just going there to do the pastor a favor because there's nobody there anyway. So I'm going to make myself present, you know, just because I'm doing it for Him. That should not be the reason when we come to church. We shouldn't go to church because we have to. We should come into church because we get to. It's an honor. It's a privilege to be able to gather with God's people corporately, to praise Him, to sing to Him, to shout out His name, and then to study His word and to draw near to Him. So number one, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Number two, serve the Lord with gladness. Number three, come into His presence with singing. Number four, know that He's God and we're not. Number five, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. How do we bless His name? By doing those things. By doing those five things, we bless the Lord's name. And here's why we need to do this. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. People ask, well, why should I praise God? Why should I give thanks to God? Because He's good. He's a good Father, and He loves you dearly, and He's given you what you don't deserve in salvation through Jesus Christ. His mercy is everlasting. Some people might ask, well, what is mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. So if you're speeding down the highway, and you get pulled over by a police officer, and you were legitimately speeding, he has you clocked, but he says to you, I understand you're in a hurry. I understand you're frustrated. I'll let you off the hook. Go ahead and go. That police officer had mercy on you. Now, a lot of people ask, what's the difference between grace and mercy? Well, mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. That's the difference between mercy and grace. So God has mercy on us because we deserve to pay the punishment for our sins. But then He has grace on us because He gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us eternal life, and He gives us heaven, and He gives us His presence, and He gives us a relationship with Him. So His mercy is everlasting. His mercy is not just a little bit. His mercy is not just for a time. His mercy is everlasting. So that's why we need to give thanks to God. And then His truth endures to all generations. We have the truth. We have the Word of God right here. And this will endure to all generations. I hope we understand that the Bible, there has never been a book that has been more attacked than the Bible. Every generation, there is a group of people that tries to destroy the Word of God and wants to get rid of the Word of God. No book has been attacked more than the Bible, and yet we have a copy sitting on our laps. Why is that? Because the Word of God says His truth will endure to all generations. Nobody or nothing will ever be able to destroy the Word of God. We have it. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to make it a part of our lives, because we're not going to be strong Christians without the Word of God. We need the Word of God in our hearts on a daily basis. So those are the five reasons and the five ways that we give thanks to the Lord. And those are the reasons why we give thanks to the Lord. Now I want to close with a story out of the Gospels. And this story is a story about unthankfulness. And Jesus was making His way through Samaria and Jericho. And as He was traveling down the road, He saw 10 men. And these 10 men were lepers. And Jesus had compassion on them. And they saw Jesus and they began to cry out to Him for healing. Well, we need to understand what would happen if somebody had leprosy. If somebody had leprosy, that person was outcasted. That person was put out. They couldn't interact with anybody. So they lost their home. They lost their family. They couldn't gather with anybody. They couldn't do normal things. They had to be in seclusion. And so a person with leprosy, we need to understand, was desperate. They were in a desperate situation. And so they cry out to Jesus, "Heal us." Well, Jesus says, "Go your way and go to the priests and show yourselves to them." And it says that as they turned around and walked away, that each of them was healed from head to toe. And after that healing, it says that one of them turned around and came back to Jesus and thanked him and gave glory to the Almighty God. And that man was a Samaritan. That wasn't even an Israelite. That wasn't even one of God's chosen people. He was from Samaria. And Jesus looked at him and he says, "Are you a foreigner, the only one that came back to give thanks?" He said, "Where are the other nine?" Where did the other nine go? They just turned around and walked away. Now, we don't know the reasons why the other nine were unthankful, but for closing today, I came up with some suggestions. I came up with nine suggestions that the other nine didn't return to Jesus. And these suggestions are based on excuses that people often make today why they don't thank the Lord for all the blessings He's bestowed upon them. So here's suggestion number one. One wanted to wait and see if the cure was real and if he wanted to make sure that he was really healed. So I'll just wait and see. Did a miracle really happen? Another one didn't thank Jesus because he wanted to see if it would last and not come back. Well, we'll wait a while. Another one said he didn't have time right now and he would thank Jesus later. I'll get around to it, but I'm going to go show myself to the priest. Another one decided that he never had leprosy at all. Well, he never really healed me at all. I wasn't sick. One said that he would have gotten well anyway, so there was no need to thank the Lord. One gave glory to the priests instead of Jesus. One said, "Oh, well, Jesus didn't really do anything." One said, "Any rabbi could have done it." And the last one said, "I was already much improved and on my way to recovery, so there is no need to thank Jesus for getting better because I was getting better anyway." And you know, I've heard story after story of God performing miracles on people's lives, and they make up some excuse and they give up some other natural explanation as to why it happened. And as you and I examine our lives this morning, and like I said in the beginning, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I think this is a good reminder for each of us. Let's examine our lives. And as we head into Thanksgiving, let's make sure that we as Christians don't only thank God one day a year, but we make Thanksgiving a verb every single day and every single moment of the year. Because we don't deserve anything from Him, but He loves us so much that He's given us absolutely everything in His Son, Jesus. And so as we close this morning, I thought we can close in a word of prayer, close in a word of thankfulness to God, and then I'm going to invite my wife Desiree to come back up, and we're going to close in one more song of worship. And I would just encourage us, let's make a joyful shout to the Lord. Let's sing honor where honor is due, and let's sing our praises to the Lord because He asks us to. Father, it is such an honor to be able to gather here in Your name this morning. And we just want to thank You. And we also just want to ask for forgiveness for the blessings that You've bestowed upon us and all the times we have taken those things for granted. Lord, would You forgive us for that? And Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You that You loved us so much that You sent Your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, to take our punishment, to take our place, so that we don't have to endure it. And simply by placing our faith in Him, we have brand new life, and it's all by Your grace. And so we give You thanks for that, Lord. We give You glory for that. And we pray that this week, as we walk out of this place, we would walk out of here with a joyful heart. And we would remember on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, to give You thanks and to give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we stand for a final song of worship?